Hello and welcome to NASCAR with Nate 006. I have to admit, Bristol certainly did not disappoint, but was it too far of a step to the old days? We're going road course racing this week for the first time this year. What should we expect? NASCAR racing in Belgium? News around the sport and more this week, so grab your favorite drink, kick back, and get ready for this week's edition of NASCAR with Nate. Let's start off with the truck race. The truck race was a really good race. It was everything that Bristol should be as far as the trucks go. You had some people like Matt Crafton up front. It's always good to see him running up front. He's been there so long. I don't know why he hasn't moved up. I guess he just loves the trucks. I don't know, because surely, you know, he has the resume that he could be at least in the Xfinity Series. So I don't know what it is, but anyway, it was good seeing him up front. It ended up between Kyle Busch and Christian Eckes. And Christian Eckes passed him with a few laps to go. There was a caution. It looked like Kyle Busch was going to catch him. He was at one point getting him by half a second per lap. He ran out of time and ended up right on the back bumper. One more lap, Kyle Busch would have run the race. Christian Eckes ends up getting his first win in the truck series. So it's good to see another guy win like that. But as a Kyle Busch fan and the luck that he's had recently in the Cup Series, I really wanted to see him grab a win. Hopefully it could turn around this upside down thing that he's been, him and RCR have been having. It didn't happen, and it didn't happen again in the race. So let's go over to the Cup race. I would say it was half-controlled chaos. I think that's the best way to explain it. Not controlled chaos, but half-controlled. There were some early race cautions. I think the first caution came 20 laps in. Everybody had completely burnt their tires up to the cords after only 20 laps. So we had been talking about the tires that they had Goodyear was bringing to the race. It was supposed to induce a little bit extra tire wear, but nobody was expecting after 20 laps to be seeing cords on tires. So, you know, as the race goes on, we get about 20 laps in, and the top groove is completely covered in marbles. It was so weird. I've never seen anything like it. But, you know, so the cars, they only had 9 sticker tires and 1 set of scuffs. That's what they were given for this race. They ended up, you know, halfway through the race, they're like, there's no way we have enough tires. So NASCAR gives everybody an extra set of tires, which kind of alleviates the problems going on, and everybody finishes perfect. It ended up being, you know, who could manage their tires the best. And it wasn't like NASCAR has been in the past few years. We're hammering down, we're going, and that's that. No. You really had to be conservative with your tires, which led to a lot of veterans running up front. I mean, you had Denny Hamlin won the race. Martin Truex Jr. right up there with him, finishing second. Brad Keselowski, which is, since he's had the RFK, he has not had a win. He was running right there in third. You had other people like Chase Elliott. He's been in the Cup Series for a while now. He finished eighth, which is, I think, his best finish of the year. So, Kyle Larson, Alex Bowman. So, you know, people like that finished in the top 10 this week. And it was good. And especially after all this talk we've been having about the horsepower, and we'll get more into that later, but as a fan, I really, really enjoyed it. Was it a little bit much? Yes. You know, people going flat every 40 laps. I mean, you would have people, it was like a 30-mile-an-hour difference in the corners. It was crazy. And it was like, I don't even know how to explain it. If you've ever watched the Cars movie, the Cars 3, you know, when he turns his lights off and he's going through those trees, that's essentially what Bristol was this week. And it was so much fun to watch. So you had mixed reviews from the drivers. Some of the, Josh Berry said it's the most fun he's ever had in his life in a race car. Kyle Larson said it was okay. And then you had people that just didn't like it. The Penske guys weren't big fans because Penske's always had problems with tire wear. It really showed this week. Now, Denny Hamlin said on his podcast, Action's Detrimental, that, you know, if Joe Gibbs went back to that racetrack the next day, he thinks he could get 60 laps out of the tire instead of 40 laps. So, hopefully Goodyear doesn't change much. And a NASCAR, Elton Sawyer, which, if you don't know, he's the VP of competition for NASCAR, he said that they need to learn how to carry the product that we saw to all short tracks. That's what they want. So, and I really think that that's the best thing for NASCAR, honestly, because if you look at it, the TV ratings have been going down year by year by year, and this Netflix thing comes out, and I think they're trying to grab that younger audience. I think they've been trying to grab a younger audience for a while. And with a younger audience, they want, like, that instant satisfaction, right? So it's like the younger people get, at least this is what I think, the younger people get, the easier it's been to access thing. All you have to do, my baseball coach, his favorite saying, he was my science teacher too, would always say, the world is at your fingertips. It's no longer the day where you have to go, you know, search something up in a book, because you can literally type whatever you want in Google and whatever you want is going to pop up. So what I'm getting at is the instant gratification and the instant, you know, satisfaction that you can get. I could see those same people being like, we're going to sit here for 80 laps and watch these cars go around and wait for a caution so they can stack up again and nothing's going to happen because the tires are too hard. Now to where, you know, 40 laps in, you got people going 30 mile apart different. It was so much fun to watch for me, and I'm sure a lot of younger people would say that too. It was, I don't know, I loved every part of that race. I really, really, really wanted to see Ty Gibbs win it because he was our guest last week. He won the first two stages, looked like he was good to go. And then Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex figured out how they were going to save their tires, and Ty Gibbs ended up finishing ninth. But still a fantastic performance from Ty Gibbs. John Hunter Nemechek finishing sixth, another fantastic performance. Chris Buescher finishing 7th. RFK had a great performance. So anyway, I'm going to stop all that, and we're going to get into this top 10. So top 10 for this race was finishing first all the way to 10th, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, Alex Bowman, Kyle Larson, John Hunter Nemechek, Chris Buescher, Chase Elliott, Ty Gibbs, and Christopher Bell. So, yeah, I mean, if you went back to the Clash, Denny Hamlin won the Clash. Martin Truex did good. Kyle Busch is nowhere to be seen, but that doesn't matter. I'm just salty because I'm a Kyle Busch fan. I'm sorry. Denny Hamlin did great. He did good at Phoenix, too. He just spun out. I can't remember what... Christopher Bell was right up there with him for a major part of this race. It was 1, 2, 3, 4 Gibbs. They dominated the first two stages. Absolutely dominated. And then Christopher Bell ran out of tires a few laps later. So did Ty Gibbs. And they ended up finishing a lap down. I think there were four cars. It was four or five, but I'm pretty sure it was only four cars that finished on the lead lap of this race. Think about that for a second. Four cars in modern-day NASCAR. Like I said earlier, I loved every bit of it. So let's go over the winners from this race. For the second week in a row, Joe Gibbs walks out in the best shape. Last week, they got the race win. You know, they had people up there fighting. This week, they completely dominated. They beat the doors off of everybody. And they did fantastic. You know, there were other people that showed good life. Josh Berry, I think he started on the first front row. He led some laps. He ended up eating his tires up. He had to pit early. Ended up screwing him in the end. But it was awesome to see Josh Berry running up there. And I think I talked about him last week, but I really thought he would do good on these short tracks with his experience and where he's from. And he did. He did good. He just ran out of tires. He needs to, I don't know. I'm sure it'll come with time. So another group that did good, we talked about them, RFK. They finished both in the top 10 with Chris Buescher finishing 7th and Brad Keselowski finishing 3rd. I really, really, really want to see Brad Keselowski finish in first place. He hasn't gotten to since he got RFK. I think it's going to come from a short track or a super speedway. Just with, you know, how Brad Keselowski's really good at super speedways. I don't know what it is. He's good in the draft. He knows what to do. He got caught up in a wreck at Daytona. Happened a few years ago too. Him and Logano, of all people. Yep, they got in a huge wreck a few years ago at Daytona. I think it's the one that... Oh, shoot, man. I don't know. It might have been the one that Ricky Stenhouse won. Or it might have been the one that Austin Dillon won. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so those two guys are doing fantastic. Christopher Buescher's doing good. He did really good in the 2021 Coke 600. Had a chance there to win. Ended up spinning out the car. So it's coming. They're doing good. They're so close. Brad Keselowski needs to get his win. It's coming. Hopefully sooner than later. Another guy, Ty Gibbs. He finished 9th this week. It's his 4th top 10 in a row. So he's 3rd in points. He's 7 points back from Martin Truex and Kyle Larson, I think. We'll go over that here in a minute. But he's doing fantastic. Sophomore slump's not a thing, at least this early. We're a month into the NASCAR season. Ty Gibbs is arguably one of the best. He is arguably the best Toyota in the field, if you look at points. So he hasn't gotten the win yet. I would highly doubt he goes through the rest of this year without a win. Don't worry, I just knocked on wood. Another good thing from this week, Chase Elliott looks like he's on his way back to the Chase Elliott that all the fans know and love. He finished, 8th place. That's his best finish of the year, if I'm not mistaken. You know, he just had this confidence on the track. And before the track, if you looked at, you know, saw him in interviews, it looked like he was just the old Chase Elliott. Nice and chill, making moves that he knows he can make, not timid. And it was great. It was good to see him do good. Going right into a short track, you know, he's got, right into a road course, he's got some momentum. He's historically good at the road courses, so I'd like to see him do good. I am by no means a Chase Elliott fan. I promise you I'll be cheering for him during Darlington week. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's go over the losers for this week. Richard Childress Racing. Where did Kyle Busch finish this week? I don't even know. Let's see. Kyle Busch finished 25th. I don't even know where Austin Dillon finished. And Austin Dillon finished 24th. So RCR finishes 25th and 24th. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if they had any problems on pit road. I didn't really pay attention to him this week. I was too caught up in the great battle that was happening up front. Didn't care about RCR this week. I put Kyle Busch in my fantasy because he's one of the best drivers at Bristol historically. I guess it was because he was in a Joe Gibbs car. If you looked at the rest of them this week, I'm sure if he was in a Joe Gibbs car, he probably would have been a top three. But hey, you know, he's done great in RCR equipment. They're just in a slump at the beginning of this year. He did good last year, so hopefully he can get out of that. We can figure out what pit crew is going to be good for him. It sounds like, you know, it feels like there's a new guy on his pit crew every week. So yeah, Richard Childress Racing, I want him to wake up. Let's talk about the TV ratings. 3.8 million viewers tuned in this week for Bristol, which was an 11% increase over Atlanta, which had the same week last year, and 10% increase over Bristol Dirt. Now, what's cool about that is Atlanta was the same week, didn't have, there was also a some kind of golf tournament and something else going on. So we had competition that we didn't have last year. We're still at the 11% increase. So hopefully we're still riding the Netflix show. People are still excited about the Atlanta finish. And if they watch this race, I think they'll be excited about this race. It was a great race. I really, really enjoyed it. Again, Ty Gibbs, four straight top tens. He's led the third most laps in the series. When is he going to get his win? I thought it was last week. Won the two stages, so he almost won it. Let's talk about the NASCAR standings. One straight to 10 is Kyle Larson, Martin Truex, Ty Gibbs, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, Ross Chastain, Christopher Bell, and Tyler Reddick. William Byron's in 10th, I'm sorry. So we got Kyle Larson. I'm surprised he's in first, but he is. Martin Truex, Ty Gibbs, he has the highest average finish in NASCAR, so it makes sense that he's up there with the top. Ryan Blaney, another guy that's been super consistent. Penske kind of got bit pretty hard at Bristol. So, he's right there in fourth. Denny Hamlin in fifth. He's kicking it. He got a win. 173 points. The winner has 185. So, they're all still pretty tight up there for the lead. Christopher Bell, Ross Chastain, Tyler Reddick. So, Ross Chastain, I don't think he's really been in the fight for a win necessarily, but he's been up there in the battle. He finished in the second row at Atlanta. He, you know, made a gutsy move, went for two tires at Vegas, was able to hold on to a P4 spot. So he's been doing great. Surely he'll get a win this year. Don't worry, I just knocked on wood. And then Tyler Reddick sitting in ninth. He's been doing good too. William Byron, he won the Daytona 500. Hasn't been talked about. Daytona 500 champion William Byron's currently in 10th in points. So let's talk about the NASCAR with Nate Power rankings. Again, there's a big thing that I do that other people do not. If you win a race, you are, as of right now, at least for the first 2.5 months, on my top 10. With the format that we have, unless we have 17 guys win a race, you're winning, you're in. So if you think it's a little skewed, that's why. Without further ado, going from first to 10th, my power rankings are Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, Denny Hamlin, William Byron, Daniel Suarez, Ty Gibbs, Ryan Blaney, Truex Jr., Tyler Reddick, and Ross Chastain. Kyle Larson, he's up there fighting, he's battling, he's had to go through some stuff. He's always like one of the best finishing Chevrolets, so whatever the Chevy camp brings, Kyle Larson, he always seems to get the best out of whatever he has. Christopher Bell and Denny Hamlin, this was a tough one, but I ended up deciding to put Christopher Bell on top, so Christopher Bell moves up one spot. Denny Hamlin shoots up 5 spots from last week. The reason I did what I did is because Christopher Bell was up there fighting in Bristol. He ended up running out of tires. Denny Hamlin was up there fighting in Phoenix. He spun out. So I just found it. You know, Denny Hamlin moved up 5 spots. Christopher Bell moved up 1 spot, at least for this week. Christopher Bell's got the number 2 spot on my power rankings. Denny Hamlin has got the number 3 spot. That leaves us 2 winners. 4th, William Byron. 5th, Daniel Suarez. So, William Byron hops down 2 spots. He did not finish in the top 10, I don't think, in Bristol. Let me double check that real fast. He did not finish in the top 10 at Bristol. Drops him down 2 spots in my power rankings. And he gets, you know, he gets jumped by Christopher Bell and Denny Hamlin. Daniel Suarez, he is in 5th place now. So those are your top 5. All those guys have won a race this year. The other 5 guys, that have, so the best of the rest, in my opinion, at number 6 is Ty Gibbs. Best average finish in NASCAR. He's ranked 3rd in the season. He's always up there doing something. He's done a really good job of staying out of trouble this year. Ty Gibbs is 6th on my power rankings. He's the best of the rest. Right behind him, Ryan Blaney. I think you couldn't argue against that. He's also another guy that has been up there. He's fighting every week. Martin Truex Jr. He did good at Vegas. He did good at Phoenix. And he almost won Bristol. So he jumps up 2 spots from last week. And is in 8th. Tyler Reddick. He drops down 3 spots. I wasn't really all that impressed with him this week. And that drops him down to 9th, and the Ross chain drops down 1 for Truex to go to 8th. So Truex, he hops over Ross Chastain and Tyler Reddick. Let's move on to COTA. So, you know, it's the first race of the year. I don't really know what's going to happen. I remember the Chevy camp being pretty good last year at the road courses, and I'm hoping that's the same case for this year because that's all they got. They've got Kyle Larson and road courses. Because the Chevys have got the short tracks on lockdown. The Toyotas have got the short tracks on lockdowns. Obviously. It'd be good for the Fords to show something. But the Fords did good on the short tracks too. Chevys did good at the super speedways. But, you know. It's looking like it's going to even out. So, really early in the year, I was really worried about Toyota. But, I think everything's going to work itself out in the end. That's all I really got. My 2 drivers to watch this week. AJ Allmendinger. Chase Elliott, like we talked about earlier. Chase Elliott looks good this week. Hopefully he can get that win. He can get that win this week. And the only driver we'll be talking about from Hendrick that's not performing up to what they should be is Alex Bowman. Chase Elliott probably wants to get his name off that list given he's a former champion. This is his best chance this season. COTA, get it done. He can do it. I know he can. Let's go to some news around the sport. Real quick, while we're talking about Chase Elliott, last night, this is coming out on Wednesday, so Tuesday, March 19th, Hendrick releases this little thing that looks like Dale Jr. suiting up. They answered everybody's questions this morning by showing a throwback scheme for Chase Elliott that he's going to do in Darlington this year, and it's throwback for the 2014 National Guard car, which is what he won the 2014 Daytona 500 in. It looks super cool. You know, I was a huge Dale Jr. fan my whole childhood until he retired, so it's super cool. I'm super excited to see him in that car, and that's why I said earlier in the episode that there is one race that I'll be cheering for Chase Elliott for. Definitely want to see that car back in victory lane, and you need to look it up. You need to look pictures up of this car. It is super cool. So, other news around the sport. Earlier in the Dale Jr. download, I think it was last week, they talked about bumping the cars up to 1,000 horsepower. Kyle Larson said it was, because it was, you know, after he called in. So Kyle Larson said that the guy that works on his car said he could have it up to 1,000 horsepower in a day, and it would not cost any extra money to set the car up that way. So here's what I think about that. Give me a little bit less crazy what we had at Bristol, and I'm fine with the package that you have for short tracks. But on those big tracks, bring it on. Give me 1,000 horsepower. I want to see him sideways in the corner like those Gen 4 cars. I don't want this full throttle stuff. Get him, you know, let's bring back that throttle control and conserving your tires and not giving it too much gas. And that will, in turn, you know, make tire wear more of an issue at those big tracks, which I don't want it to be a huge problem where we're blowing tires, running into the wall at 170 miles an hour, but just make it to where they're, you know, you got to conserve that right leg a little bit. I think it'd be super cool. 1,000 horsepower, bring it on. Leave it alone at the short tracks. Big tracks, bring it on. I have a viewer in Belgium. So it's one person, I think. But I have 5 episodes and 5 views from Belgium. I thought it would be nice to say something about Belgium in my podcast. So that person is, you know, I just want that person to know that I appreciate them. So with that being said, after doing some research, I have figured out that the Euro NASCAR Finals will be held at Circuit Zolder in Belgium this year in October. So Belgium, wherever you are, know that you are appreciated. We appreciate every view, and you being so far away, you stick out, and we appreciate you. And real quick, the show is coming out kind of late. I'd like to apologize. My wife called me this morning at about 7, and she's broke down on the side of the road. Yep. So her car, she has a little Mazda. Her car has 60,000 miles on it. And so I go over there to get her car, and I try to turn on, click, 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 just making a noise like the motor's locked. I'm like, well, shoot. So I said, what's going on? And she said, I don't know, the oil light came on, and then about a mile later, it just shut down, wouldn't work anymore. Okay, so we popped the hood, and there's oil everywhere. I'm talking every crack and crevice of her car. And here's the stupid part. I got two stupid parts. Hope you're listening, Mazda. That car is about 3 inches off the ground. So I can't even, you know, I can't fit under that car to see what's going on. I can't even get a jack under that car. Let alone, if I did get under that car, they got some fake skid plate up under there. It's like some fake plastic skid plate. So I'm up under this car, trying to be up under this car. I can't jack it anything because my jack won't fit under there. When I do finally get my jack under there, get it jacked up, it starts sliding and skidding because there's oil all over the place, and I don't want any part of it. So all I know is, you know, we're sitting there. I changed the oil. I do the maintenance on our vehicles. So I changed the oil about a month and a half ago. And so I was like, thinking on the way to pick her up, I'm like, man, you know, my stupid self, I did something. I didn't put that drain plug tight enough, and it's going to be off the car when I get there. And I ruined the car. I did it. I ruined it. But then I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, well, you know, surely it's been an hour. It's been 2 months, almost 2 months since I changed that oil. So surely it would have happened by now. And anyway, so I end up not figuring out. I got the best friend in the world. He came and picked us up and helped me put the car on the trailer, and he towed it back to the house for us. And we get over there, and we end up, you know, having her parents come over, and they help us push it up on these little, you know, those little ramps. They're great ramps. If you do any work on your car at home, I highly recommend getting them. One, because I don't like jacks. They're kind of finicky, and especially if your car's covered in oil, the jack is going to slip around. Not a good idea. So, and you got a Mazda, you got 3 inches of clearance. I really highly advise staying away with it. So, I'm sorry. Mazda, I'm sorry. I'm just mad. I'm mad today because my wife's car's ruined. I'm sorry. Anyway, so we get up here, and I'm thinking in the back of my head the whole time. She's like, well, she didn't say that it was knocking or nothing. Maybe, you know, maybe it's the oil filter. But because that fake skid plate has got oil everywhere. Every crack and cranny and crevice of the bottom of that. So you can't tell where it's coming from because it's hitting that fake skid plate and it's bouncing. And so finally we get it on top of this little ramp thing, and I crawl up under there, and sure enough, there is no oil filter on that car. I don't know where it went. I didn't take it. And I know she didn't take it off. We can't fit under there. It's 3 inches of clearance. Anyway, somehow, some way, the oil filter fell off, and it ran it dry, the engine's locked up, and we're going to have to seal it for parts or something. So, that's how my day went. That's why the show is late. I terribly apologize. With that being said, that is going to wrap it up for this week's episode of NASCAR with Nate. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry I went on my little rant. I'm sorry I don't know too much about the road course, but hey, we're new. We're learning every week. I appreciate you guys sticking around and listening to us. Make sure you follow us over on Twitter. Shoot us any questions you have at NASCAR with Nate. Again, thank you for listening, and we will see you next Wednesday after Coda. Bye.